विद्यायामोदबलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्कविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the seventh shloka, Shankara spoke about the form of Devi, how a person should meditate on Devi's form, Devi Saguna Upasana. Shankara had briefly explained about Devi's form and the Saguna Upasana. A Devi Upasaka, how should he do Upasana? How should he do Dhyanam? Or anusandhanam in the mind on Devi's form. And in this particular shloka, in the eighth shloka that we are going to discuss today, Shankara speaks about at the place where Devi lives. So earlier it was the form, now he is slowly entering into as to where Devi resides, the place around her. What is the place where Devi lives? Slowly it's progressing from Devi's form, from a brief viewpoint, and then now into the place where Devi is living. In the next shloka, Shankara, in the ninth shloka, Shankara would be explaining about Sri Chakram, the intricate details about what is Sri Chakram and how is it used. But here Shankara gives about as to where, what is the place where Devi lives, Devi resides. We already know from the brief discussion about Tripura Sundari that Devi is sitting on a cot which has four legs. The four legs are Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra and Ishvara, and she is sitting upon Sadashiva. She is sitting on Sadashiva, who is the top portion of the cot. So we can say Sadashiva is the pillow or the cloth or whatever is the word for that, upon which Devi is sitting. But Shankara explained as to what is the place, how does the place look like where Devi is residing, the place where Devi lives. That is being explained in this particular shloka. So what is the purpose of explaining as to where Devi lives? Because for a devotee, for a Saguna Upasana, a person who is doing Saguna Upasana, or a Saguna Upasaka, for a Saguna Upasaka, the mukti that he yearns for is, it is the mukti wherein he merges into the particular God. So if I am going to merge into Devi, then I would want to know what is that state. Why would I want to merge into Devi? Okay, we can say that, okay, I am also part of Devi, I am Devi herself. But still, what is the use of realizing my state of Devi? What is the use of realizing my state of Devi if it isn't any better than the state that I am? The state of, there is a very old saying that ignorance is bliss. So if, when I am in the state of ignorance, in the current state where the ego is active, the jiva is working, he experiences happiness and sorrow, I am still content with whatever is happening around me. I am happy. I have happiness, I have sorrow, that is part of life. I take it as it comes. So I'm not bothered about it. Why would I want to realize my own nature of Devi when this itself is good? So for such seekers, we have to explain. Shankara, it is duty of a bhakta like Shankara to explain as to what is the real purpose, what is the real benefit out of realizing one's own nature of Devi. So a person might think, Vedanta says that a person might think that he is happy, but that's only because the situation and environment or surroundings are suitable or conducive to his happiness. The moment they the situations go against the seeker, against the person, then he will be troubled. Then all the peace of the mind, the contentment, the happiness, satisfaction, everything will vanish within a second. It's only for a person who has merged into Devi, who has realized his own nature of Devi, who has attained Sayujya Mukti, that Mukti wherein he has attained oneness, conjunction, Sayujyam, oneness or merging into Devi, such a person alone will can and will be always blissful irrespective of the situation, because Vedanta says that by realizing one's own nature of Atman or Brahman or Devi, that is the only way in which we can get rid of happiness and sorrow. There is no other way than this for happiness, for Anandam. Anandam can be achieved only by Moksha. That Moksha which Vedanta says as realization of one's own nature of Brahman, Nirguna Parabrahman. That alone can give us peace and contentment or Anandam. The happiness that we get out of world, the objects of the world, those are temporary, those are seeds of sorrow. So Krishna himself says that Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonaya yevate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha, ye bhogaha, those bhogam, those sensual pleasures that we get, samsparshaja, by samsparshaja, samsparshanam, or means like samsparshaja means arising out of samsparsham. Samsparsham means association of or conjunction of the sense organs, the indriyas, with the sense object. So those pleasures which are created, which are born out of sense contact, the sense organs being or coming in contact with sense objects, dukkha yonaya eva te dukkha yonaya eva, they are eva surely what dukkha yonaya. Dukkha yonaya means dukkha yonis, that means yoni means seed, dukkham sorrow. So those are seeds of sorrow. So Krishna himself says in the 18th chapter that which seems to be happiness, that which seems to give happiness in the beginning will give only sorrow. So the happiness that we think we get out of the worldly objects will only lead us to sorrow, because they are temporary, they are mithya, they are unreal, they are always changing. So today they are there, tomorrow they won't be there, therefore they can't give us eternal bliss. So they are seeds of sorrow because they are temporary, they are changing. Therefore adyantavanta kaunteya, why they are seeds of sorrow? Adyantavanta, they have a beginning and end. That which has a beginning and end is temporary, is unreal, therefore it cannot give us eternal bliss, because the object itself is temporary. A temporary object can give only temporary happiness, cannot give eternal happiness, because it is not eternal. Na teshu ramate buddha. Buddha, wise people don't take refuge in it. Wise people don't take resort to such happiness which are arised out of sense contact, because they are temporary. The happiness that we gain out of world, the contact of sense organs with sense objects, will only lead us to sorrow. These are seeds of sorrow. Not only Vedanta, even Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra says that parinama tapa samskara dukkaihi guna vritti virodascha dukkameva sarvam vivekinah. Dukkameva sarvam vivekinah. Sarvam, the entire objects of the world, which Yoga Shastram terms as prakriti, that those are vivekinaha, people with vivekam, people with discrimination, dukkameva sarvam, they say that the objects of the world are sorrow alone. Why? Parinama tapa samskara dukkaihi, because they have parinamam, parinama dukkam, tapa dukkam, samskara dukkam, parinama dukkam, that dukkam which is caused because they are always changing. Parinamam means change. So sorrow caused out of parinamam or change, tapa dukkam, sorrow caused out of effort. What is the effort? We all know how tough, how difficult it is to possess a sense object. If we have to get into IIT, if we have to earn money, we all know how tough it is. So there is a tapam, there is a sorrow, there is a effort, sorrowful effort. That effort is not really blissful effort, it is a painful effort. So that also is, that also shows that it is, the objects are filled with dukkam while we are attaining it. And let's say we have attained them, and someday because they are parinamam, they have changed, we will lose them. So when we lose them, then we will have samskara dukkam. Samskara dukkam means, samskara means thought. So impressions, out of impressions, we will think. That is what happens, right? After, when parents grow old, when parents become very old, then they will have dukkam. When why dukkam? Because of thinking about their youth, because of thinking about their days of happiness. So those days of happiness, they are changing, and when they are lost, when they are not there, when those objects are not there, then we will brood over it in our mind, thinking that I was happy at that time. So that happiness gives sorrow even after it goes away. So because of these three reasons, and guna vritti virodhascha, because each of the object that we gain in the world depends on the vritti, depends on the mental impression, mental thought, mental process, and each of the objects has a gunam of their own. As well as there is a gunam in our mind as well, which changes it. So depending on guna vritti virodhascha, because each of the, there is a contradiction of the various gunas in an object as well as our mental process with the object. So in short, the objects themselves are characterized to various gunas. So sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, depending on the state, depending on our mental state. Therefore as well, they are dukkameva sarvam. They all are dukkam alone. Thus, vivekis, people with intellect, people with discrimination tell so. So there are many other places. Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindatyatmani yatsukam sansanyasa yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. It's another shloka in the 5th chapter of Gita where Krishna says that a person who renounces the bahya sparsheshu asaktatma, a person who is not interested in the happiness that is achieved from external object, from sense contact with external object, he because of sannyasam, because of renouncing association or attachment to external entities, he sukam akshayam, akshayam sukam ashnute, he attains akshayam sukam. Akshayam means that which is, which doesn't have a kshayam. Kshayam means decay. That means he attains eternal bliss. So many places it speaks. Therefore Vedanta says that all pleasure, sensual pleasure, whether it be from a simple object or whether it be from a complex object, whether it be from my own body or whether it be from my partner or children or parents, all those are filled with sorrow. They are seeds of sorrow. They are sorrow themselves. They cannot give us eternal bliss. We may think that at this point of time, presently or currently, we get happiness out of them, but it will surely change. There may be no doubt that it will change. And therefore, Devi is in that particular state wherein there is only Anandam. Anandam all around. Not only Anandam, that is where the devotion school speaks as Bhukti Mukti Pradayini. Devi or any devata gives us not mukti alone but bhukti as well. At the empirical level there will be bhukti, there will be enjoyment of happiness as well as sorrow, because both will be taken in the same way. Both will be taken as a gift, as an order of Devi. So when it is an order of Devi, when it is a gift from Devi, even if it is sorrow, it becomes happiness. It's like telling that for a mother or a father, when the child, it's quite funny to see that parents, when their children are very young, they trouble a lot. So if somebody asked, how is your child? Oh, he troubles a lot, he runs around. They speak as if it is trouble. So it seems like one of the person asked, oh, if they are so much trouble, then why not give them to me? Oh, that I can't do. So even though children do a lot of trouble, yet that trouble is not trouble because there is real love, real affection. At least for some days, if not for a few minutes. The same children who give happiness when they are young, when they grow up, oh, I don't like my son, he is so troubled. Why? Because I chose a partner, I chose a wife for him. He had a love affair and he married his lover. Therefore, I don't like him. So that's the way the world goes. So, but if we accept everything as a gift from Devi, as an order of Devi, then everything will be happiness. So we become a mere sakshi of all that is happening here. Devi is doing, Devi is the karta, Devi is the bhokta. I am a mere witness. So witnesshood is common with respect to jnanis, with respect to bhaktas. It's a different word that is proclaimed. The word that bhaktas use is an instrument. I am just a karanam. Even as the karanam is unaffected by the activity, similarly, I am just a mere instrument of doing whatever your will, whatever you are willing. And therefore, I am unaffected by it. So such a state of eternal bliss. Empirically, I am a karanam. I am a sakshi. Ultimately, internally, I'll always know that only Devi exists. Whatever exists is only Devi. I'm not different from Devi. Devi is not different from me. The objects of the world are also not different from Devi. Therefore, there will be Anandam alone. There is no other way for gaining Anandam than realization. Realization that everything is one Devi, one Parabrahman alone. And in order to make the seeker go after Devi, Shankara has to explain as to what is the real purpose of going behind Devi. What is the place? How does the place look like where Devi resides? So that when we merge into Devi, we will get Anandam. So that is what he undertakes in this particular shloka. Though in a single word, we can say that Anandam. There is only Anandam for a person for around Devi. Shankara himself says that Kama Krodha Viyuktanam Yatinam Yatachetasam Abito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Viditatmanam Kama Krodha Viyuktanam Yatinam Yatinam, for people, for striving people, for people who have strived and realized. Kama Krodha Viyuktanam, who are devoid of Kamam and Krodham. So these are for strivers, for not for Devi or an avatara. An avatara comes into the world as liberated, as a realized person, whereas seekers are people, striving people, Jivan Muktas are striving people who were bonded and then who get realization. So for such seekers who don't have Kama Krodham, who are devoid of Kama Krodham, Yata Chetasam, whose mind is fixed, whose mind is concentrated on Brahman, Abito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate. Brahma Nirvanam, Anandam of Brahman. Anandam, that is the very nature of Brahman, that is the state of Brahman, that Abhitaha Vartate, that will be there surrounding that person. So Anandam will be dancing around, that is a beautiful way of telling that Anandam will be dancing around such a person. why Anandam will be dancing around such a person? Vidita Atmanam, because he has known his own nature of Atman, his own nature of Brahman. So Devi can be, if that is the case with Jivan Mukta, then with the case of Brahman, Nirguna Parabrahman or Devi, there is no doubt regarding it. So there will be Anandam alone. But Shankara, like even as Shruti, instead of just saying Sarvam Brahmamayam or limiting it to Sarvam Brahmamayam, it says that Brahmai Vedam Amritam Purastha Brahma Paschad Brahma Dakshina Daschottarena Daschordvam Cha Prasritam. Brahman alone is present front, Brahman alone is present behind, Brahman alone is present side, Brahman alone is present left side, right side, top, bottom. It goes on to explain each and every part. Similarly, for Madhyama and Mandadikaris, for people who can't apprehend clearly, that Devi is Anandam alone, Shankara explains the details. This shloka is in Ragam Kamboji. Kamboji, and some people say Kambodi as well, Dha or Ja. So Kamboji is a common word that is used. It's a very common raga, though I can't recollect any songs in it, but it's a very common raga. If you search in the net, you would be able to find. So the shloka, it's in the Melakartha Ragam of Hari Kamboji, 27th or 28th Melakartha Ragam, if I am right. The shloka goes like this. Sudha Sindor Madhye Suravitapi Vati Parivrite Manidvipe Nipo Pavanavati Chintamani Grihe Shivakare Manche Paramashiva Paryanka Nilayam Bhajanti Twandanya Kati Chana Chidananda Lahari. It's a very beautiful raga. So the meaning goes like this. Sudha Sindor Madhye. So Devi's place, the hall or the room or the house where Devi stays is in the middle of Sudha Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. Sudha Sindhu Amrita Kadal. So that kadal that ocean which has Amritam, which is made up of immortality. That means if a house is in between Amritam, in Amritam, in the ocean of Amritam, that means it will be Amritam, and the person who is living there is also Amritam in nature. As simple as that. But if we imagine a Sudha Sindhu Amrita ocean, an ocean of immortality in the middle, or in that particular ocean of immortality, Sura Vitapi Vati Parivrate Manidvipe. Dvipam means in a hall, or like I am not getting the right word for it. We can say a hall or house which is made up, or we can also say, some people, the Tamil book translates it as an island. Dvipam can also mean an island. So an island, Manidvipe, that is made of various ratnas, various jewels. And Suravitapi Vati Parivrate, surrounded by Suravitapi Vati. Vati means tree. Suravitapi means Kalpaka Vriksham. Kalpaka Vriksham is considered to be one of the Vriksham, one of the tree which is present in Swargaloka, which can fulfill all desires, which can fulfill any desire or all desires. All desires are fulfilled by that particular tree, by the Kalpaka Vriksham. So surrounded in the Manidvipam, which is Manidvipam, or the island filled with jewels, which is in the middle, which is in the ocean of immortality, and in the particular island surrounded by, which is filled with, which is surrounded, which is totally filled with Kalpaka Vriksham, various Kalpaka Vriksha, different Kalpaka Vriksha, Nipa Upavana Vati Chintamani Grihe, Chintamani Grihe, in that Griham, in the house, which is Chintamani Griham. It is called Chintamani Griham because Chintamani is that stone which fulfills all desires that arise in our mind. Kalpaka Vriksham, we need to ask Kalpaka Vriksham to fulfill our desires, whereas Chintamani is that money. If we have that, then whatever we think in our mind, that we get be satisfied. So in the Griham, which is Chintamani, Chintamani Griham, that means that Griham of Devi is capable of fulfilling desires in the mind. This goes in par with whatever Shankara said in the fourth shloka, that Devi fulfills all desires more than what is sought, and that means what is not sought as well. That is because she is in the Chintamani Griham. And Nipa Upa Vanavati, that means like there is like under the shade of there are forests or like various trees, sets of trees. The Kadamba Vriksha, which provides shade. I am not sure. Maybe Kadambam translates into banyan tree. I am not very sure about it. Kadamba flower is quite popular. I am very weak in all this. So, Kadamba Vriksham. So, there are a lot of Kadamba Vriksham. There is a vanam. There is a forest in that particular graham, in that particular dvipam, where, which is filled with Kadamba Vriksham, which provide lot of shade. Shade, we'll come to that later. And Shiva Akare Manche, in that mancham, in the mancham, mancham means that particular plank, wooden plank, which denotes a cot, we can say. Shiva Akare, that mancham, which is of the nature of like Paramashiva, or in another interpretation that is taken is this mancham denotes that god where there are four Shivas. So that Shiva is made of the four gods of Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra and Ishvara, therefore all those are Shivas. So that mancham which has the four pillars, or we can say four legs of the four Shivas, and Parama Shiva Paryanka Nilayam. Paryankam means it's a kind of pillow kind of thing. Raja Maharajas have that pillow and sit on that. They have that Paryankam also to support their hands. So the Paryankam, we already know that Devi sits on Paramashiva, Sadashiva. So Paramashiva Paryanka Nilayam. So Paramashiva or the Sadashiva is the Paryankam for Devi, for that particular cot. And Chidananda Lahareem, you are like the waves of Chidanandam, Chit and Anandam, consciousness and bliss. Waves of consciousness and bliss, that means you bliss and even as if ocean is never without waves, similarly you are never without Chit and Anandam. You are like the waves of Chidanandam, which is ever present in the ocean of immortality. Immortality is categorized. Immortality is characterized by Chit and Anandam. Sat is obviously part of immortality, but Chit and Anandam also go with it. Therefore, you are waves of Chidanandam. You are like the waves of Chidanandam, waves that characterize Chidanandam. Chidananda Lahareem Tvam. You who are like the waves of Chit and Anandam. Katichana Danyaha Bhajanti. Katichana, very few. Danyaha. Danyaha means people who are blessed people. Bhajanti, worship. That means you are worshipped by very few blessed people. Not many people worship you. So each of these signify a lot of things, so we can go on and on and on without any stop, but we'll see in brief. So Sudha Sindhu, we know that the ocean of immortality, that denotes the state of immortality. That means Devi is of the nature of immortality or Anandam. And Sura Vitapi Vati Parivrati, that denotes that we just need to ask, we just need to mention our desires and Devi will fulfill them. Manik Dvipe, filled with jewels which we want. So jewels can there mean either Anandam again or various virtues that we need in life, like money, fame, etc., which will be given to us. And she is in the Chintamani Graham, that Graham which fulfills our desire. So we don't need to ask her, but we just need to think our mind and Devi will fulfill it. And she has shade. Shade denotes peace of the mind. So there will be peace of the mind for a Devi Bhakta, because Devi Bhakta will gain Sayujyam, will gain merge into Devi and be in such a state. And the Mancham and all denotes Parama Shiva. Shiva denotes Mangalam. The three states denotes that we will be in control of creation. We will be in control of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. That means we will be in control of Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. That means we will be in control of all whatever is happening around us. We will be in control of whatever is happening around us doesn't mean that we can change whatever is happening in the world, but it only means that we are in control of our mind. So though whatever is happening around is not controlled by us yet, we control as to how we react to whatever is happening around us. That means we decide when we want to be happy, when we want to be sad. We decide when we are dejected, when we are happy. We decide as to when we have to accept something, we have to reject something. Therefore, we will ever be in a state of Anandam. And Chidananda Laharim denotes that state of Brahman, which can give us Anandam, Brahman Nirvanam. And Katichana Danyaha means very few people. So Krishna himself says in the 7th chapter of Gita that Manishyanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschit Mam Veti Tatvataha. So it says that Manishyanam Sahasreshu. Sahasreshu Manishyanam, out of thousands of people, Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye. Yatati Siddhaye Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye, for Siddhi. Very few people strive for Siddhi, for perfection, for Anandam, for Moksham. So out of thousands of people, very few people strive, very few people work towards Anandam. Yatatam Api Siddhanam, out of still thousand people who are striving, or who have done effort to strive, out of such thousand people, Kaschid Mam Veti Tatvataha, very few know me in reality. That means out of thousand, very few want to strive, want to get Anandam. And out of those people who strive for gaining Anandam, very few realize me in reality. So it's like very few. That is the nature of the world. The nature of the world is that very few people seek Anandam, very few people seek devotion. So that is where Katichana Danyaha Bhajanti, very few blessed people worship you. Why are they blessed? Chaturvidha Bhajanti Maam Jana Sukratinorjana Arto Jitnya Suratarti Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. Again Gita. So Gita in the seventh chapter, Krishna says that Chaturvidha Janaha Bhajanti Maam Sukritino Arjuna. O Arjuna, four types of people worship me. Sukritinaha, because they have done lot of good karma. Who are those four people? Artha Jnyasuhu Artha Arti Jnani Cha Bharatarshaba. O Bharatarshaba, O Sreshta among Bharata, in the Bharata Varsha, the four people are Arti means people who want to get rid of sorrow. So people who seek me, who are devoted to me and ask for removal of sorrow, removal of worldly sorrow. Jijnyasu, people who seek jnanam, real knowledge. And that's the second. Third is artharthi, third is people who seek wealth. And fourth is jnani, the wise people or people who have realized jivan muktas. And Krishna again says, Udara sarva evete jnanitu atmeiva me matam astitasahi yuktatma mameva nuttamam gatim. So ignore the rest of the shlokas. Udara sarva eva ete. Ete sarva udara. All these people are really great. All these people are sreshtam. Why? Because they seek me. Whether it is for worldly pleasure or whether it is for any other thing, if we know that Devi alone is present here, and Devi is the reality, and then we are devoted to Devi, thereby we seek anything from Devi, whether it is worldly pleasure or any other thing, that still he is greater than a person who doesn't seek Devi. So, dhanyaha, people are dhanyam. Those people who seek me are dhanyam. And like out of like all those four people, jnani is more dhanyam, jijnyasu and jnani are greater because they seek realization. So here bhajanti means people really worship. Really worship means mai eva mana aveshya mai buddhim niveshya nivasvishyasi mai eva ata urdvam na samcheha. So the 12th chapter Krishna says, a person after fixing his mind onto me and intellect onto me, he gets fixed into me without any doubt. And he also speaks about like maya veshya mano emam nityukta upasate sraddaya pareupetaste naitva tamamadaha. So the three ways of how Krishna says as to who is a real devotee, what is real bhajana, maya veshya mano emam, who have fixed their mind onto me, they are always focused onto me. Nityayukta upasate, they are steadfast. That means they never deviate from it. So their mind are fixed onto me, they never deviate. And sraddayaha pareyopeta, they consider me as, they have devotion onto me, faith onto me, and they consider me as the ultimate goal, the supreme goal. Okay, I need money to live. I need a car to live in the place I am staying. I need money for sustenance, I need food, I need affection from my parents, I need affection from my children, I need affection from my husband, I need affection from my wife. So I need all these things, yet I know that you are the ultimate goal. That is the state of a bhakta. Okay, oh Bhagavan, oh Devi, I know you are the one to be really sought out. I know I have to be devoted only to you, but still I have vasanas and I need certain things. Therefore, I seek worldly entities as well. But I know you are the ultimate goal and I'll surely attain you. I'll be focused on to you. So considering Devi as the ultimate goal, whatever other goals are there, they are all secondary. So if it comes to choosing between Devi and any other entity, then a real bhakta who is doing bhajanam, who is a dhanya bhakta, such a person would choose Devi than the other thing. So there are many cases of people having done that. So we can Prahlada, instead of supporting his father, he chose Vishnu. He chose Bhagavan over his father. Oh, father and mother are fine. But Guru, how can I go against my Guru? My Guru teaches me that Dhyanam alone is right. Like Sri Sri Ravi Shankar or the Art of Living say that, okay, you should do Dhyanam. If you don't do Sudarshan Kriya, it's not good. If you don't chant Lalita Sahasranama, like most of Amma's devotees say, if you don't chant Lalita Sahasranama, you are not a devotee. So there are many such cases. Oh, I can't go against my Guru because Guru Ninda, that cannot even, I cannot get out of Guru Ninda. But we should remember that Mahabali, who went against his guru of Shukracharya, Shukracharya said, warned him, "Oh, go back on your word. Don't, you have given word to Vamana that you will give him 3 feet of land, but know that it is Vishnu. So don't give him. If you give, you will be destroyed." Mahabali happily said, "Oh, if Bhagavan has come to me seeking those three feet of land, then how blessed I am. I'll never go against my word. I will stand by him." So he got a shabam as well from Shukracharya. And as a result of that, he was sent to, Bhagavan himself sent him to, not to Naragam as we know, but to, not to Padalam, but to a lower land called Sutalam, with the promise that whenever he wants, he can see Bhagavan. So Mahabali went against his own guru. So there is nothing, nobody is greater than the reality, and the reality alone is real. The guru gains power, the guru gains authority because the guru is in the state of Brahman. If not for Brahman, guru is not different from an ajnani. So the guru is guru because of Brahmajnanam. So Brahman is to be considered of a higher priority than guru. So if it comes to choosing between Brahman and anything else, whether it be my brother, my sister, my father, my mother, my guru, anybody, I'll choose Brahman, because I'll choose Devi, because I'm a real Bhakta. Such real devotees are very rare. Danyam. Blessed are those devotees. Why are they blessed? Because they will get Sayujyam. They will merge into Devi. They will realize their own nature of Devi. When they realize that, then they will be in a Sudha Sindhu. Sudha Sindhur Madhye. Then wherein there will be only Anandam. There will be nothing but Anandam, Chidananda Lahari, Sudha Sindhu, an ocean of immortality which has waves filled with Chit and Anandam. What can you gain there other than Anandam? There will be only Anandam. As Shankara says, Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. Such a person will always be enjoying, rejoicing in bliss in such a state. That is what is the goal of having devotion to Devi. Blessed are those people who have devotion to Devi, who is situated in such a beautiful place where there is Anandam alone. So with this shloka, Shankara says as to how is the state of Devi. It is much, 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 much higher. We can't even compare it with our state, compare with the state that we are now. Because here we gain only Dukkam, whereas in that state we will gain Anandam. Therefore, we have to seek such a state. We have to seek, we have to strive forward for gaining bhakti, gaining devotion, doing real bhajanam, and therefore becoming blessed, dhanyam, of gaining sayujyam onto Devi. That is the purpose of this shloka. We'll see the next shloka tomorrow.